reading from Acts chapter 1, but also in the back of our hymn book, we're going to be looking at the Ascension. There's various questions and answers in Lord's Day 18, but first let's read our text from Acts chapter 1. Acts 1, and we'll start at verse 6. Acts 1 is found on page 1080 in our black pew Bibles. Acts chapter 1, we'll start at verse 6. Acts 1, verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." As far as we're reading in Acts 1, then I invite you to turn with me in the back of your songbooks to look at Lord's Day 18. Lord's Day 18. And we'll read these question and answers responsively. Lord's Day 18. Let's find a page 879. Question answer 46. Let's respond together with the answer, with question answer 46. What do you mean by saying he ascended to heaven? That Christ, while his disciples watched, was taken up from the earth into heaven and remains there on our behalf until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. But isn't Christ with us until the end of the world as he promised? Christ is true man and true God. In his human nature, Christ is not now on earth, but in his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is never absent from us. 48, if his humanity is not present wherever his divinity is, then aren't the two natures of Christ separated from each other? Certainly not. Since divinity is not limited and is present everywhere, it is evident that Christ's divinity is surely beyond the bounds of the humanity that has been taken on. But at the same time, his divinity is in and remains personally united to his humanity. And then finally, question and answer 49, how does Christ's ascension to heaven benefit us? First, he is our advocate in heaven in the presence of his Father. Second, we have our own flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that Christ, our head, will also take us, his members, up to himself. Third, he sends his Spirit to us on earth as a corresponding pledge. By the Spirit's power, we seek not earthly things, but the things above, where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand. And that's as far as reading in the Catechism. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, although we may not want to think about it, January is not too far away. And January is known as one of the most depressing months of the year. One of the reasons January is so depressing is because it's cold, it's dark. But another reason January is so depressing is all of the festivity is over, right? All of the parties have come to a conclusion. all of our loved ones who we were looking forward to having with us, to being with, have all gone home. We've said goodbye to the ones that we love. This saying goodbye to someone that we love is found in our passage today in Acts chapter 1. The disciples stood there on the mountain watching their beloved master and teacher ascend, leaving them behind. Why did Jesus leave them? Why did he leave them? Well, today we're going to look at this phrase in the Apostles' Creed that he ascended into heaven. And we're looking at this theme, Jesus Christ ascended into heaven for the good of his people. And perhaps an illustration would help us understand how this might be for our good. Let's imagine that there is a young couple, husband and wife, newly married, and all of a sudden the bells of war go off. This loving husband, not only for the love of his country, but for the love of his bride, heeds the call, goes to a foreign land, engages in battle in order to protect his wife from the enemy. But you can be sure, as soon as the battle is over, he will return home to his beloved bride. And even while they are separated, his heart was always with his beloved bride. In a similar way, Jesus Christ has been separated from us. He's been removed from us. He's gone into heaven to do his work. He has not gone to a place of warfare. He's gone to his home. He's going before us to make a place ready for us, to get our home ready. And when that work is finished, he will call us. He will take us. He will bring us to the place that he has made for us. But even now, although we are separated, he has not forgotten us, nor has he forsaken us. All of the work that he is doing, even to this day, is for our good and for our ultimate benefit. So again, the theme is this: Jesus Christ ascended into heaven for the good of his people. In our first point, then, we look at the nature of his ascension. What do we say? What do we mean when we say Jesus Christ ascended into heaven? Well, Jesus Christ, when he died, died in the flesh. His body was really dead. And when he was buried, the body that was placed in the tomb in the grave was a real human body. On the third day, he rose from the dead, as we confess together. The resurrection of Jesus is a real, literal, physical resurrection. Today, we continue this focus, looking on the reality, the real physical nature of Jesus Christ, even in his ascension. Acts chapter 1. Jesus Christ literally, physically ascended into heaven. The very same Jesus Christ who walked and talked with his disciples, who ate with his disciples, who gave convincing proof that Jesus Christ was really, literally raised from the dead. He said to Thomas, "Stick out your hand, touch my hand, put your hand in my side, feel me. I have flesh and blood. I'm not a phantom. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a vision or an apparition. Look at my body. Look at my very presence." Well, after 40 days after giving them convincing proofs, Jesus Christ leads his disciples to the Mount of Olives. Here on the Mount of Olives, at a very literal physical place, the disciples saw the real physical body of Jesus being lifted up from their presence, being brought into heaven. Acts 1 verse 9 puts it like this: while they were looking on, he was lifted up from them. Jesus Christ literally, physically, bodily was lifted up from the ground, from the earth, from the Mount of Olives into the sky, into the heavens. There is no room for a spiritualization of this or a rationalization of this. Dr. Luke is making it abundantly clear. Luke goes out of the way to make sure that we understand Jesus Christ literally, physically died, rose again, and ascended into glory. This fact testified, verified, asserted by multiple witnesses. After these 40 days, Jesus Christ was lifted up. Our question answer 46 puts it like this: while the disciples watched, Jesus was taken up from the earth into heaven. So where did Jesus go when he ascended into heaven? Well, Jesus left the earth and entered heaven. Now, heaven is not just an idea of bliss and beauty. It is clearly presented as a physical location where Jesus not only went, but where Jesus still is to this day. Now, in our reading from Acts 1, the word heaven is used in two separate ways. As the disciples were standing there on the ground looking and watching Jesus Christ ascend, Jesus Christ went up into the air, into the sky, into the heavens. But when the angels then said, "This Jesus whom you have watched has ascended into heaven," they are making a switch in this use of the word. Because heaven is not just a place in the sky, somewhere not here on earth. It is an actual location where Jesus went. He was hidden from their sight by the clouds. He was translated into another location, or maybe a different dimension might be a way of looking at this. The disciples were standing on earth looking into the heavens, the sky, where the angel or where the birds of the heavens fly. But Jesus was taken from the earth, not just into the sky, but into the heavens where the angels are, the highest heavens. Heaven is therefore a real place. It is not just a spiritual idea. It is a real physical location where Jesus, in a physical, resurrected, glorified flesh, is residing to this day. Hebrews 9, verse 24 puts it like this: "He entered the highest heavens." In this, Jesus Christ was being welcomed home as the King of glory, a triumphant return. The psalmist will put it like this: "Lift up your heads, O you gates, that the King of glory may enter in." Jesus Christ returned to the Father's side, returned to the place of great glory, returned with great honor. When Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and was hidden by the clouds, he didn't just disappear and cease to exist. He went that very moment and remains to this very day in a place called heaven, receiving the praise and adoration of the saints and angels. Heaven is a different place. It is not here. We cannot see it with our eyes. But by faith we know and are firmly convicted that heaven is real, a place where the angels, the saints who have gone before, and God's very presence in his majesty is made clear. So Jesus is now separated. Jesus Christ is removed. Jesus Christ is no longer here. Being separated from someone that we love, removed by a distance from someone that we love and hold dear, is a sad event. When we have to say goodbye to our family and friends in about a month from now, we'll have a moment of sadness. We'll wish that the one that we loved could stay with us and remain in our presence. But Jesus Christ, in ascending into heaven, made it clear that his ascension and his departure was temporary in nature. It is real. It was a real change in location, but it was always designed to be a temporary separation. The angels said this in Acts 1, verse 11. "This same Jesus who you saw depart will return in the same way," Acts 1:11. "He will return to this earth just as you saw him go." Interestingly, when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, Jesus Christ had raised his hands and pronounced a benediction. He raised his hands, blessing his disciples. And the angels said, when Jesus Christ comes back, he'll come back in the same way, meaning he will come back in the same physical presence. Right, his return is not a spiritual return, a metaphysical return. It is a real physical return. But even what Jesus will be doing, what is he doing now? Jesus Christ began when he ascended. The works that Jesus performed, and we'll see this more in our last point, the work that Jesus was performing when he was ascending, when he was going up into the heavens, was raising his hand and blessing his people. And Jesus Christ is continuing to do this work of raising his hands and blessing his people even now. And when he comes back, that position of blessing, that work of blessing his people will continue. So the ascension of Jesus Christ was always designed to be temporary. That's a good reminder this time of year. It is right for us when we come close to Christmas time to celebrate the birth of this baby born in a manger, born in Bethlehem. Personally, I love all the things that go along with Christmas, all the sights and sounds and songs and food and festivities. It's right to celebrate Christmas. But at Christmas, the coming of Jesus Christ was part of his humiliation. We, however, are looking forward to Jesus' second coming, his return. And his second coming will be one of glory, honor, and exaltation. Jesus Christ did ascend into heaven, but he will not stay away forever. He will return. He will return, coming back to us, coming down again to earth. And that's a proper desire of the church. As Revelation 22 concludes, the church is crying out, "Come, Lord Jesus." We are not praying for Jesus' first coming. We are not looking forward to Christmas in that sense. We are not looking for Jesus Christ to come back as a humble baby boy. We, however, are looking forward to Jesus coming back in his human, mature, exalted, glorified nature. Because even today, heaven and earth are separated. Heaven is separated, separate from the earth. When Jesus Christ comes back, not only is he coming back, he is bringing heaven with him. So although heaven and earth are two separate locations today, one day when Jesus Christ comes back, heaven will descend with Christ and be established on this earth. And the new heavens and new earth will be a place of great unity and blessing, where there will never be a departure again. There will never be a separation. God will be with man for all eternity. Jesus in the presence of his church, with his bride, for all eternity. So the ascension is always designed to fill us with a sense of yearning. We properly want Jesus to come back. We want to see our Savior's face. But the fact that Jesus Christ is not now on earth, this fact raises a very important question. If Jesus Christ is not here, has he abandoned us? Has he left us? Has he forgotten us? Are we to fend for ourselves? Even more than that, did Jesus break his promises? Did Jesus break his word? You'll remember that in John 14, Jesus says, "I will not leave you as an orphan," but have we been orphaned? Has our master and our redeemer, has our husband left us his bride? Because the fact is, I can't see Jesus. He is not here now in the flesh. His presence has been removed. Then did he leave us alone? Did he forsake us? Did he forget about us? Surely not. Surely not. There are two proofs given as to why Jesus has not abandoned us. The first proof proving that Jesus did not abandon us is found in John 14, verse 18, where Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans." And in that context, Jesus is speaking of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Later on, John 14, verse 26, "I will send the Holy Spirit in my name, And then in our reading from Acts 1, if you still have your Bibles open, Acts 1, verse 5, Jesus says, "Stay here in Jerusalem, and I'm going to send you the power of the Father. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. So stay in Jerusalem till I send the Spirit upon you." In other words, the way in which Jesus Christ keeps his word, where he does not abandon us, is found in the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The way in which Jesus Christ remains with us is through the Spirit of Christ. Because as you will remember, ascension is followed 10 days later with Pentecost. The lifting up of Jesus Christ, the removing of Jesus in the ascension, is necessarily followed by the pouring of the Holy Spirit, the sending of the Spirit upon the church. So Jesus is very much present today, and the first way that he is present is by the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. So Christ dwells in our hearts by way of his Spirit. The second way in which Jesus Christ is still with us is found in his nature. Question and answer 47 and 48 of the Catechism really grapple with this question. And this is why theology is important. Who is Jesus Christ? What are the two natures of Jesus Christ? I'm sure our catechism students will be able to tell us this, right? Is Jesus man or is Jesus God? And the answer is yes, right? 100% man, 100% God. At his ascension, Jesus Christ in his humanity was lifted up and brought into heaven. So is Jesus physically present with us today? The answer is no. But question and answer 47 says, by way of his deity, his godness, the fact that he is God in his nature, Jesus is never absent from us. Question and answer 48, the divinity of Christ is beyond his humanity. So we can draw parallels between this and what we know about the Lord's Supper. When we look at the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine are not the physical body and blood of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ remains in heaven. But that does not mean that Jesus Christ is not present at the Lord's Supper. He is surely present by way of his Spirit and by the way of his deity. So Jesus Christ, by way of his divinity, his godness, is with us and never absent from us. So to be clear, we have to speak very specifically when we're talking about Christ's presence. Because these two things are true. At the end of Matthew 28, Jesus said this, Matthew 28, "I will be with you always to the end of the age." Jesus says he will always be with you. I'll never leave you. I'm with you to the end of the age. But Matthew 26, Jesus says, "You will not have me with you always." So which one is it? Is Jesus not with us or is he with us? Is he always with us or is he apart? And the answer is found when we understand the ascension and Pentecost. So he is not with us in the flesh, but he is always with us by his Spirit and his deity. These last two question and answers of the Catechism, they're denying the teaching of the Lutherans. Very briefly, the Lutherans taught that the body of Jesus, the physical body of Jesus, takes on the traits of his deity so that the physical nature of Jesus could be present everywhere at all times. That's the ubiquity, right? So we are saying that the body of Jesus remains a true human body, present in one place at one time. He has a physical body just like you and me. Raised, glorified, absolutely, but still a real, truly human being. In this way, Jesus is not now here. He's ascended into glory, seated at the Father's right hand, and yet will never be apart from us. Well, now that we understand the manner of Jesus' presence, in our last point, then we look at the benefit. And that's kind of the theme of the Catechism. We're looking at every phrase. What is the benefit? What's the payout? Remember, the Catechism is a book of comfort, right? How does understanding the ascension comfort you? What is the payout? Why is it so important to understand where Jesus is and what he is doing? Well, we read in John 16, where Jesus said it was for the good of the disciples, it's for our good that he leaves. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Jesus said it is for your good, it's for your benefit that he ascended into heaven. Now, we might be tempted, it sure would be great to travel to the Middle East and meet Jesus and talk and walk with him, and how wonderful that would be. But Jesus said it's for your good, it's for your benefit. You are better off with me ascending. How could that be? How could it be that it's better off for us? Well, there are three very clear benefits given for us here in the Catechism, question and answer 49. We do say that absence makes the heart grow fonder, but married couple who spend long periods of time apart from each other would not say it's for your good. So how is Jesus' departure, how is that for our benefit? Well, first of all, the first benefit of having Jesus ascended into heaven, being in glory right now, is that you have an advocate, you have an intercessor at the Father's right hand. He has the Father's ear, if you will. Jesus Christ continues to pray for you. He continues to pour out blessings upon you. And the place that he is ministering is at the Father's right hand. He is at the fountain and source of the Father, who is the fountain and source of everything good. You can't get closer to the fountain and source than Jesus is to his heavenly Father. So he is right by his Father's side, pouring out blessings, praying for us, and ministering for us. The second main benefit we have with the ascension is Jesus Christ is in heaven as a man, right? Your elder brother, one who is like you in every way, who knows your weaknesses. Your elder brother, a real human being, has received the name above every name, is the most highly exalted, King of kings, Lord of lords. And when the judge of the living and the dead returns, the judge who sits on the white throne is a man, is your brother. This is incredibly comforting. Jesus is the first fruit and guarantee of every one of our future blessings. Not only is his glorification a guarantee of our future glory, his very presence in heaven is a pledge of our future presence in heaven. Jesus Christ said, I go before you to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may also be. Jesus Christ being there in heaven, making a place for us, is a guarantee that he will one day take you there as well. Let's change the illustration that we started with. Imagine this young couple, newly married husband and wife, wanting to start a new life in the wild frontier. The husband goes out first. The husband does the trailblazing. The husband clears the land, plants the crop, builds the house. He is making a home ready for his bride, a safe, comfortable home in which the bride can be welcomed into. As soon as the house is ready, the husband sends word to his wife, "Come, your home is ready. I've prepared a place for you." That's what Jesus is doing. As a loving husband, he's gone before us. He's trailblazed the way. He's making a place for us. But more than that, in the meantime, this husband who is building a home and planting a vineyard and getting everything ready, in the meantime, he has not forgotten about his bride. In the meantime, this husband is still sending money, sending support, sending love letters
to his wife, even though they are apart, the husband is still supporting, giving words, giving message, giving gifts to his wife, even while they are apart. And that is what Jesus is doing today. Even though he's not here physically, he's gone before us, he is still sending us messages. He's sending us love letters. He's sending us gifts, blessings. The third benefit from the ascension is that Jesus gives his grace and spirit, pouring out his grace and spirit from heaven, even though we are separated. He is supporting us and assuring us of his love even while we are apart. By his spirit, he is strengthening us for the journey ahead so that we can look forward to and be prepared for the time that our husband returns to take us to the home that he has built. Such is the manner of Christ's love. Such is the work of our resurrected, glorified, and ascended Savior. To conclude, the ascension of Jesus enables us to see, to declare clearly how Jesus is with us and how he is not now on the earth. As I said before, the separation that we now experience will one day be ended. As Jesus Christ once, when his disciples were watching, ascended into heaven in the flesh, so too he will one day, as the living disciples will see, he will one day return. This return will be seen by all, and no cloud will hide his appearing. So we say with the church of all ages, it is our prayer, come, Lord Jesus. We want Jesus Christ to come back. We want to see our Savior's face. But until then, rest assured, brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ is going to continue his work in both heaven and on earth, continuing his work for us and in us. As our theme states, Jesus Christ ascended into heaven for the good of his people. So let everyone be ready, for the return of the Master is at hand. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this stirring reminder of Christ's continued work, that even though he is not now physically on earth, he has not forsaken us, he has not abandoned us, he has continued to provide for our all needs, our every need, by his Spirit and grace. And may we be ready for the return of Christ. May we long for that day. And may we be eager to see our Savior. And when we do see him, may our hearts be stirred, and may we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servants. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.